Ephesians chapter 4.
We're going to read verses 26 down to the end of the chapter there, verse 32. I'll read verse 26 and you read verse 27 with me. Verse 27 is my text verse for tonight. But be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And let's pray. Father, please bless your word tonight, Lord. Help us to believe it. Lord, help us to tremble before you and honor you and be more influenced by what you give us in your word rather than all the junk that comes out of Hollywood and the media. Please help us tonight. Strengthen us as your people. Open our eyes and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I said my text verse there is verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. When you speak with missionaries in Haiti and in Africa, the Satanism that they deal with is on a level that is terrifying. They deal with it in real person. They deal with real demon possession. They deal with the cannibalism and everything that goes with it. I've heard them talk, and Brother Calab said when he was in Africa, he said he was preaching a meeting and a man came up and was just screaming obscenities, very demon possessed. He said for 2 hours, he stopped his preaching, and for 2 hours, it was literally the people were there and the man was in the back writhing and screaming, and he just quoted scripture for 2 hours. He said, and it didn't stop for 2 hours. And that was mild compared to what some of the missionaries talk about. The demon possession, the voodoo, the Satanism, it's very real. If they told you some of the stories, most people would not believe it here in America. In America, the devil is every bit as active. But here in America, he wears a smile and he's entertaining. So rather than being feared, he's embraced. The typical American Christian struggles to name the minor prophets in order, but they can name all of the characters in The Lord of the Rings. They couldn't name you any great soul-winning preachers of the past, but they can give you all the names of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books, which are filthy. Harry Potter books have recruited. The very fact that Harry Potter books are recruiting kids for Wicca means nothing to them. Oh, it's just, you know, stats. Christianity Today magazine recommends that parents read Harry Potter books to their children. That's Christianity Today, whatever that is. And it's a junky magazine, but liberal. Doesn't the Bible say, 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God describes people who have pleasure in unrighteousness as those who are going to... That's a trait of the wicked who are going to hell. That is not a trait of the saved, right? In other words, if you're saved, a child of God, you shouldn't have pleasure in unrighteousness or things that are wrong. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm not supposed to fellowship with any of the works of the devil. Listen closely. Now it's talking about works of darkness, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's shameful. It's shameful for a Christian to do so. It seems Americans can't get enough of Harry Potter, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Charmed, or anything magical or witchy. And the result is, thus far, Wicca or witch covens are the fastest growing religion in the UK. Parents have said, oh, I'm just so proud of my child reading Harry Potter book. They read it all the way through. I do bide my tongue, but I do think these thoughts. Why don't you take your kid to a satanic ceremony, let them drink blood and eat goat's head soup? It'd be the same thing. Be the same thing. It's just as devilish. But I know the answer I would get, which is why I don't say it. Oh, I'd never do something like that because it's not as entertaining. Satanism is in Shakespeare. I don't know if you know this. In Shakespeare, there's seances, there's witchcraft, there's the occult. And what you need to understand is that witchcraft and the occult, Satanism has always been a popular topic in cultural literature. In America, witches are cool, they're funny, they're helpful, they're entertaining. But when you read your Bible, they're ushers to escort you into hell. It has always been popular to glorify the devil, but put a Christian in your story when you're writing it, it's either a psycho or a murderer or a nut job, and you'll have a best-selling novel. Because it's okay to make fun of Christians and glorify the devil. People will pay $105 for admission plus parking plus a night stay in a motel at Universal Studios in Orlando so they can pretend to have magical powers in the wizarding world of Harry Potter. It's a section of Orlando Studios. Now, if we charge, now we're not going to, but if we as a church charge the same amount to preach to them the gospel and help them grow spiritually in the Lord and show them how to enjoy the Christian life, can you imagine what we'd be called? Now, we're not going to charge. I understand that. We're not going to do that. But if we did the same thing, would you like to come to church? We're going to do it for 8 hours and teach you the Bible. And we're going to pray, and we're going to learn to love the Lord, and it's going to be wonderful. Cost you $50. Would you like to ride a roller coaster? How about with the devil being the theme? Oh, okay, I'll do that. And they'll shell out money for, you understand? You see the difference? We're not going to charge for church, amen? But the mentality is this. I'll pay to go see something Satan offers or that's themed in the devil, but to most of them, you couldn't pay him to come to church, amen? We've gone the wrong way down the wrong road for so long that the occult and Islam can be taught in our public schools and it's socially acceptable because it gives them a broad cultural base. But if you teach about Jesus of the Bible, you're a narrow-minded bigot. In the public schools, you're not allowed to have a program that celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ because that promotes religion. But you are allowed to have the Druid tree and observe the worship of the unconquered son of the heathen people of Northern Europe because that's culturally diversified. That's where the Christmas tree comes from. As long as you don't call it Christmas. Oh, no, this isn't a Christmas tree. This is the Druid tree. Oh, well, in that case, put up three of them. You know what I mean? The thinking's weird, but that's America. They're not against religion in the public school. They're against Christianity in the school. You can't have a commemorative of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because that would be promoting religion. But you can observe Halloween, a 3,000-year-old holiday of fear from the Celtic tribes and their Druid priests of Ireland. On this first night of winter, they believed that the boundary between the living and the dead was unusually thin so that the souls of the dead could roam freely back and forth. As the dead were offered food and sweets to keep them away, this became known as trick-or-treat. The offering of blood sacrifices and the shaman and the druid priest standing up and foretelling the future of those who would live and die that year slowly became known as what we now know as horror stories, staying up late at night telling horror stories. The dressing up as dead spirits and doing pranks and mischief. See, they didn't just dress up as dead spirits and ghouls and goblins. They dressed up and then to prove that they were evil, they had to go around doing evil. And then the evil spirits would supposedly see that, stupid, and then would, go the other way, and it was a way of scare. Why would a ghoul be scared of a ghoul? But that was the thinking. That's where the costuming comes from. You have the Celtic day called Samhain, and you had the Roman festival, Pomona, for harvest. That merged in 50 AD with Rome's conquer of Northern Europe. Then this festival of the dead and this festival of the harvest merged. Finally, in the 700s, Pope Gregory III absorbed that paganism into the Catholic Church as All Hallows' Eve or All Saints' Eve. It is the festival of the dead. That's what Halloween is. I don't know how a Christian can participate in that. He said, well, we call it something different. Okay. In Mexico, it's called the Day of the Dead. It's called the Day of the Dead. And in parts of the world, it always has an occultic name. Did you know this? In the Satanist Bible, it says there's three major holidays for someone who worships Satan. The first one is your birthday, because it's all about you, right? Number two is Walpurgisnacht, which is April 30th. And the third holiday for a Satanist is Halloween. It's the third most powerful holiday. How could a Christian involve themselves in a Satanist holiday? Please, you're in Ephesians there. Can you take your Bible and go to look at chapter 4? God says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give a spot to Satan in your life. As a Christian, I understand if even name anything, and I'll get into this here in a little bit, name any part of fantasy that isn't demonic. Leprechauns, fairies, unicorns, smurfs. Name any part of fantasy that is not demonic. And I think you will be hard-pressed. You can't name it. Name something in the fantasy realm that is not demonic. And you can't. It's thought-provoking. When you have God's Word in your King James Bible, it should scare you when people who say they're Christians or so-called preachers nowadays, when someone bases their life on things that spirits tell them while they're in bed at night or when they're driving down the road. Well, the Spirit told me this. These people are so stuck on themselves, they assume that anytime they get an idea, it's of the Holy Ghost. That's mysticism. Why would you think that it's the Holy Spirit that tells you to do something when it's not found anywhere in the Bible? There are stupid books on spiritual warfare out there that make a few Bible references and then get into the mysticism and the Christian voodoo. Things like this. Well, I was scared when I entered the room, so I anointed the doors. Lord, please anoint this door. And Lord, keep the demons out of this door. Why would a demon use the door? What did the demon do? Come up and, hey, let me in. How stupid. That's mysticism. That's voodoo stuff. Here's more Christian voodoo. Are you ready? Came into that motel room and I just felt oppression, so I pleaded the blood of Jesus. You don't have the blood of Jesus. That happened nowhere in the Bible. It sounds good though, doesn't it? Sounds good. Oh, that was precious. You were pleading the blood. Where is that? Where did they ever do that in the Bible? I'll answer it for you. It is nowhere found in your Bible. That is Christian voodoo, mysticism, garbage. But people buy that in America. They fall for it. That is not found in your Bible. It's so sad that people believe that junk instead of the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give a place in your life for Satan to have a foothold. Don't give any ground to the devil. Don't give place to Satan. And I think here in America, because Satan is alive and well, and he is very active, I think there's demon possession, and I'll tell it to you here in just a little bit. There's demon possession all over America. How can any Christian watch American Idol? Doesn't God say he hates idols? But I want to one day have all that glory, so I'm going to sing or do my show or whatever so I can be an idol. I want to be worshipped. That's the purpose, right? That's the purpose. It doesn't click, though, because in America, it's entertainment. It's all entertaining. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. Look at verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? For the living to the dead? Shouldn't somebody that's saved seek God's will instead of the spirit world? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Bible is the measure of truth. It's the measure of what's right. And if they tell you anything that's not in the book, it's wrong. There's no light. God is light. God is a spirit. Our God is a consuming fire. And if there's no light in them, God is not in what they're doing. But they'll take your money. I'll say it again. Why would you seek after a wizard when you have a living God that saved you and His Word? That is what lost people do. You have a Bible-preaching church to attend. You're saved. You've trusted Jesus. Why would you seek unto anyone except God? Go to Luke chapter 16. Go to Luke chapter 16. I don't think a Christian should seek anything from the dead or the underworld. I have a tendency to believe, and if you disagree with me, that's fine. I think the Bible lends itself to teaching that hell is in the middle of the earth. If you go down, I believe it's 14 miles, the temperature goes up to 1,000 degrees. 1,000 degrees. Ovens, we cook food. food at 450, 400, 1,000 degrees. That's 14 miles down. And they say the further you get closer to the earth, the more the temperature goes up. I don't know that hell's in the middle of the earth. I have a tendency, in Job there's references, that's a different Bible study, but I think there's verses that speak of hell being in the middle of the earth. That's why we call it the underworld. When you talk of 1 Samuel 28, Saul is a backslidden Christian. He's flesh-driven. He can't talk to God. It said God's not talking to him. You can read it later, 1 Samuel 28. And so he goes to the witch of Endor, and he tells the witch, he disguises himself, and they get around the fire, and he says, I want to talk to Samuel, the dead prophet. And so the witch supposedly calls up Samuel, and Samuel comes up, and in a spirit, and the witch screams, ah! This is Samuel, and then she recognizes Saul, and you've tricked me. And Saul says, I'm not going to kill you. I just had to talk to Samuel. And Samuel gives the words, and nobody talks to the dead. Nobody talks to the dead. I'll show you that here in Luke 16 in just a second. That's 1 Samuel 28. In, when you take and follow that story through, in 1 Chronicles 10, it says this. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And listen, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire by. Because he went to a witch, God killed him. Here's a backslidden Christian. Because the Word of God doesn't suit me, and because the Word of God doesn't tell me what I want to hear, I'd rather go to someone that has a familiar spirit, a fortune teller, witch, crystal ball gazer, palm reader, whatever. And God says, he killed Saul for that. I wouldn't want anything to do with that stuff. Nothing to do with that, but God killed. I believe the person that Saul saw was not Samuel. Look at Luke 16. Look at verse 23. It says here, and in hell he, the rich man, lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26, watch this. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Nobody comes back from the dead. The Bible teaches they can't. God will not allow it. That's why these stupid seances, and I want to talk to my grandpa or my uncle or all this stupid stuff, they're not talking to... Saul was not talking to Samuel. He was talking to a demon. You say, well, how can they describe the house that my great-great-great-grandfather had in northern Connecticut? And he described the mansion to a T. The demon was there 300 years ago. He knew exactly what the house would look like. They're not talking to any family members. When a person dies and goes to hell, or when a person dies and goes to heaven, they cannot come back. There is no talking with the dead. There's only talking with demons. You say, where'd you get that from? I believe that's a very basic Bible teaching. Very basic. That's why I believe to a Christian, anything, any talk about seances, or I'll show you here, Ouija boards or any of that, it ought to scare a Christian. You say, why? Because if you play with that stuff, you're giving place to the devil. You're giving a spot for the devil in your life. And I believe that obviously is dangerous. So here, you could talk to the risen Jesus Christ about the future anytime you want, but don't ever deal with horoscopes. Why? Because you're giving place to the devil. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. As a pastor, I don't know that what you do in your home, what you do in your house, that's up to you. But I would hate for you to never hear something against Halloween. And I think maybe next week is too late. I would hate for you to never hear something against Halloween and its dangers for a Christian from a Bible-believing preacher. Amen? From the Bible. And I believe it's not pleasing to the Lord. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look at verse number 9. Deuteronomy 18 and look at verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. I'll make more statements of this, but I don't want to do Halloween with a different name and call it Harvest Party. I don't want to do after their abominations. Well, it's the same thing. We can dress up and then we'll give candy to everybody and trunk or treat and all that other stuff. If giving candy is the name of the game, I can give candy to kids year round. You understand? Well, they get a whole bag. well, get them a whole bag of candy and give it to them year round. Here's your piece. You ever seen the kids all jacked up on sugar? Well, I just want to give my kids some sweet. That's not the issue. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those people. What they did with the dead, God says, I don't want you doing. I don't want you doing anything similar to it. Look at verse number 10. There shall not be found any among you, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times. What's an observer of times? That's star movement, right? Astrology. This is the times and the vibrations and the cosmos and all that other garbage. An observer of times. Or an enchanter or a witch. Did you know that the witches teach that abortions are a form of child sacrifice? That's disturbing. That is taught in witch covens. Then the same parents that would never sacrifice their child will let Hollywood teach their children that witches are good and friendly and more helpful than preachers, because preachers are really bad people. Look at verse 11. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's someone that supposedly talks with the dead. Look, the future's scary for all of us. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm supposed to trust the Lord. I'd like to think I'm getting up tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I am, but I really don't know if I am or not. Tonight might be the night God calls me home. Oh, the future. I just trust God. I don't know what the future holds, but as a Christian, I know who holds the future. I don't need the seances. I don't need the fortune tellers. I don't need the horoscopes. I don't need that. I trust the Lord. I trust God. A Christian should not have anything to do with fortune telling. Listen to this closely. I know where I'm going when I die. That's a biggie. I've never been there before, but I know where I'm going, amen? I also know who's going to be there when I get there. You say, where'd you find that out from? The Bible. I know what's going to happen when I get there. And I know what's going to happen 7 years after I arrive if I go up in the rapture. I know what's going to happen 1,007 years if I go up in the rapture. I know what's going to happen. Why would I spend $13 on a Ouija board or even more on a palm reader? The Christian is the only one in the world that knows where they come from, where they're going, and what they're supposed to be doing until they get there. I'm not looking for purpose in my life. I have a purpose. You say, well, you're a pastor. You're a Christian if you're saved. You were given a purpose when God saved you, that you might know the hope of His calling. You have a calling on your life. Every person in here does if you're a child of God. God has called you. If you don't know what it is, then you read the Bible and you seek His face until He shows you. But it's not, well, I got to find myself. I got to find my purpose. You have a purpose, and it's an eternal purpose. And if you don't want to face it, that's between you and God. I can't make you. I'm not here to make you do anything. As a pastor, I want to teach you the Bible and teach you. You don't have to live that way. You have a higher calling. Amen. Look at verse number 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That statement shouldn't bother you if you're living your Christian life with Jesus, right? Right? Thou shalt be perfect. So there's a reason, when I read this chapter, there's a reason God would allow a country to take over our country that doesn't believe like us, Islam. There's a reason. They're allowed to come here. Well, no, it's because they keep blocking President Trump's immigration. There's a reason. It's the judgment of God. They are tolerating us until they take us over. Do you understand? If you doubt that, go to Detroit. They don't enforce anything anymore. It's the highest per capita Islamic place in America. The courts don't work there anymore. There's too many Islamic people. It's happening in our country. Why would God allow that to happen? Because you're not doing what I told you to do. So therefore, I'll let another nation take you over. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18. Listen closely. It's hard to get people to teach their children the Bible at home, but they have no problem sitting down in front of a TV and letting them watch it for hours. We're viewed as normal if we tell our kids, now you sit down in front of that TV and you watch at least 2 TV programs, but you're a nut job if you tell them, you make sure you read 10 pages a day in your Bible. That's nutso in American thinking. Do you understand? But you can watch as much TV as you want. But to prescribe the Bible to someone, that's just extremism. We're viewed as normal. You say, oh, but we watch the old programs like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. Oh, okay. Our society believes it's perfectly normal to believe in witches and wizards and dragons and playing with Ouija boards, which is really a spirit or talking board. Fairies, talking spirits, and tinkerbells are normal. But if they believe in biblical Christianity and walking holy with their God, they're a weirdo, antisocial terrorist, and they've got to have brain damage. The problem is American Christianity believes in Jesus Christ, but they don't really believe in the devil. They do believe God has angelic beings that work for him and do his will, but they don't believe the devil has an agenda or anything really going on. In our culture, everything the devil does is with a smile, or it's cute, or it's entertaining, so you can watch and learn about him and have fun all at the same time. Please be careful what you indulge in the TV. Now we have parents wondering why their children are cutting themselves. That's demon possession. No, that's depression. Have you heard the testimonies of the teenagers that have stabbed themselves? The one testimony I've got at my office, the kid was listening to Iron Maiden, which is satanic, and then he said the voice kept saying, kill yourself. He said he took a knife, he stabbed it, his mother came into the room, he's bleeding out, and he said, Mom, the voice kept telling me to do it, and he died in her arms. Anything that leads you to hurt yourself or any thoughts that lead you to self-destruct is satanic. He is the destroyer. We just don't know why our daughter, cuts herself with razor blades. She's demon possessed. No, she needs to be put on medicine. She needs to go to church and get saved. Amen? We just don't know why our kids are cutting themselves or why they hurt themselves. Demon possession. We don't know why our kid is suicidal. Demon possession. We don't know why they're talking about murder. It's demon possession. When a kid can look you square in the eyeball and lie. That's demon possession. I've met some kids that sent chills down my spine every once in a while. Praise God, they're not everywhere, but they are out there. That 11-year-old kid in Texas, not even fazed by his dad committing suicide in the thing. The preacher comes up, son, are you okay? And they're in there taking care of the body. Kid didn't care at all, sat there, fine. Oh, that was just his way of dealing with grief. I would venture more. I think the kid was demon possessed. That's not a normal response when a parent dies. Yeah, I don't care. Kid had bad problems. That stuff's all over our country. I don't know why my child is acting this way. He's been watching the devil in 20 different forms since he was in the cradle. And you think there's no ramifications. Now they're playing video games, role-playing, that's satanic. People just don't know it because the TV and video games are now the babysitter in our country. Take your Bible, please, and go to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Just a little longer here. Hang with me. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and watch this, and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. That word sever means I cut you. I didn't wean you away from them. When I saved you, I severed you from other people that you should belong to me. I saved you out of Egypt, the world and its bondage, where they worship the dead and they talk to the dead and they engage in filthy ceremonies. And I didn't save you or sever you out of that so that you could go back in it after you called me your God to participate in their ceremonies. I severed you from other people that you should be mine. Look at verse number 27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. The name of the first Harry Potter book was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I think according to this verse, it should be Harry Potter should be stoned with stones. Amen. Okay. This is all under the theocracy of the Old Testament, and we are not under it. We are under a democracy. This is for Hebrew culture with Hebrew people under God's rule. So nobody needs to go out and say, "There's you read Harry Potter's book." That was under... This is what this is saying. God was saying in the Bible, if I'm ruling the land, these people aren't allowed to live. If I'm in command, these people aren't allowed to live. God's going to rule one day in the 1,000-year millennium. He's not ruling yet. You understand? So this is... But it is good to know this is God's opinion. God gives the death penalty to murder. God gives the death penalty to rape. God gives the death penalty for kidnapping. And God gives the death penalty for messing with the occult, any form of it. It's so sad that America is against the first three, but throws its arms around and kisses the fourth. Take your Bible and go to Acts 16.
preaching?
Acts 16. Please, why would I preach something like this? Because if there was a season when people might be pulled or enticed to go and give place to the devil, don't give the devil a place in your home. Don't give it a place in your family. Don't give it a place in your life. Neither give place to the devil. Acts chapter 16, look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. This girl is demon possessed. That's what God just tells us. She is demon possessed. Then, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Stop. That tells me this. Does that sound like the words of a demon-possessed person? God says it is. But we don't think that. They kept her on drugs so that she could contact the spirits. So they kept her strung out on drugs that her masters did. She's a slave. And she is saying as they're following him, these are the servants of the Most High God. And they show us the way of salvation. I have to admit, when I read this, I am taught by the Lord how to recognize phonies. Because if you just read this, I don't know if somebody said, oh, wow, you're a preacher and you show people how to get saved. I don't know that I would recognize that as a demon-possessed person. But God says it is. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. In other words, it wasn't flattery that you're a pastor and you show people how to go to heaven, the way of salvation. Paul recognized that you're demon possessed. And he cast the demon out. It wasn't just because he was having a bad day. He cast the demon out, and then they lose money and they cause Paul and Silas to get put in jail. And you can read the rest of it. And then, you know, they sing and pray and the tits and shakes, and we'll get that's a different story. All I'm trying to tell you is this. They didn't have any problem with her. They beat them. They beat Paul and Silas, bloodied their backs because they cast a demon out of a girl. They didn't have any problem, though, when she was in bondage. They didn't have any problem when she was a slave. They didn't have any problem when she was demon-possessed, but they had a problem when they couldn't make any money. That tells me something. The world will tolerate demon possession, but they will not take you being filled with the Holy Spirit. As you witness on the job, if you'll notice, all of a sudden, those who don't sit together, those who don't work together, they have nothing in common. The moment you start witnessing, they all agree together that you need the hush. They don't know each other, but they're unified on silencing you. In America, you can complain against Christians and anything to do with Christ, but people don't listen to Christians complain because in their view, Christians are bigots and they deserve it. This is because American society is in love with wizards, witches, and those that want to contact the dead, but not with anybody who preaches the gospel. What's sad is this, is there's some people, I don't think there's anybody in our church, but I think there's some Christians, they call themselves Christians, they would think preaching like this is extreme, narrow-minded, and I'd have to be off my rocker to preach a sermon like this. Off my rocker? So walking trees and fighting orcs are normal? So dead king spirits riding dragons isn't demonic? Oh, come on! You've given place to the devil. It's just entertainment. But if you're a soul winner or a preacher on the street, you're a psycho. If you show anybody how dragons are used in the Bible, I don't care about that. Dragon, that's one of the names of Satan. Why are people so infatuated with it? I believe they've given place to the devil. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look, sometimes it takes a sermon like this to point out things. Like when we taught on music and we learned it is the beat that hypnotizes and puts people in a trance, and it is all through our society. It's dangerous. It shuts off the brain and lets and helps people live like animals. There's not all beats are bad, but this same type of a sermon, I hope, opens eyes. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You know what he's talking about? He said, the day you got saved, you said, I do. When Jesus said, will you take me to be your Savior forever, and to buy you with with my blood forever, would you? You said, I do. And the similar thing to it is a wedding vow. You were espoused. I was espoused to Christ June 7th, 1986. What day were you saved on? Jesus took you as his own and he says, I want you, when you finally meet Jesus and you're united or married with him, that's what the word marriage means, united. When we get to heaven, I want you to be a chaste virgin. I don't want you to be defiled with anything. I want you to be a 100% Christian. When you finally get to meet Jesus, I don't want you to meet Jesus being his bride and saved and in his presence, but your garments are all defiled and filthy and oops, guess I got into some things I should. I want you to be in his presence clean and undefiled. I want you to love, he's saying here, I want you to love Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul. I don't want you to love Jesus and Glenda the Good Witch. I don't want your loyalty divided between the Holy Spirit and unclean spirits. I want you to be a real Christian, true blue through and through, not 40% Christian and 60% heathen. You say, well, I think you're taking this too far. Look, the Gideons, you know, when they call, they say, you know, will you support us? No, I can't support you. Why not? I cannot give my money to someone that does not do the King James Bible. They said, well, only 3% of what we print isn't King James Bible. The 97% are King James Bibles. Well, then if I asked you a question, how about if I was faithful to my wife 97% of the time, but only 3% I was unfaithful? Would that be okay with you? Would that be tolerable with you? Do you think my wife would tolerate? Come on, it's over 50. It's only 3%. See, everybody in here agrees with that. Then how faithful are you supposed to be to the Lord? Would you listen to my question? Is it okay then for 3% to be unfaithful? I'm only unfaithful 3% of the time. The picture here is a marriage. Do you understand? A spousal, a virgin, a wife. That's the picture. I don't love Jesus all the time, but come on, who does? You know, that type of justification, but it wouldn't work in a marriage. How faithful do you want me to be to my wife? I think everybody in here would say 100%. But when it comes to Jesus, it should be the same thing. You should be faithful 100%, not 97 and 3. Look at verse number 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety or his trickery, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You got tricked. You gave Satan a place. You gave the devil a place, and now your thinking is messed up. Lest your mind should be corrupt. You have corrupted thinking because you've played with the devil. As a Christian, he entertained you. He's cute. Don't give place to the occult or the devil in any form. Look at verse number 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. God is concerned here that even though you're a Christian, if you aren't careful, you could be open to other spirits and beliefs. Oh, don't be so narrow-minded. It's good to be narrow-minded. If you're too open-minded, you collect a lot of junk, it'll poison your brain. There, what it just said, it corrupts your mind. I'm glad I'm a narrow-minded, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning Baptist. I want to stay that way. Amen? I don't want to be open to everything else. I want to be closed to the book. It's healthy and it's spiritually safe. Look down at verse 13. This is the passage. Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. I would think in this day and age where there's so much junk out there that calls itself Christian, good night. How can you have the wisdom and the insight and the discernment when you're playing with Satan to recognize false Christians? You can't. Look at verse number 14. And no marvel. In other words, don't be amazed at this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look, we're trying to teach the Bible so that you can see over and over and over again, when you are in trials and hard times and battles in your life, you can look to Jesus and ask him to help you and he'll come through. That's what we're teaching the Bible to the children for. That's what we teach. When you have a problem, you don't have to turn to drugs or sex or entertainment or any. You can turn to the Lord. But trying to get that across to a Christian nowadays, it's like beating your head against a wall. You can call on the name of the Lord.
He doesn't have to be the last person you look to. He could be the first.
But Hollywood and the media and the internet and computers and your smartphone, they all want you to think, here comes the wizard. Here comes the witch. Here comes the superhero. In cartoon form, in movie form, from the cradle up, you're taught when you have a problem, call a devil. Call a good devil. Don't call a bad one, right? If you ever need him, old Satan is there. He'll help you. Isn't that garbage? Now, we all would say, oh, yeah, that's wrong. But you don't understand. That's what society and Hollywood and TV and the media, that's what they're pushing. That's what they're pushing. Please take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's end with two more verses tonight. Please don't give place to the devil. Please don't play with any form of the occult. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him. What a verse. Having forgiven you all trespasses. This is what happened when you got saved. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities, that's demons. The word spoil means he took their most valuable possession. And if they did have anything in you when you got saved, he took it all from them. He spoiled principalities and powers. And we'll finish the verse here. It says here, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Listen closely. We're going to close with this. God has given you everything you need to overcome Satan. When you got saved, you don't have to wonder if when you go in a room, I sensed the devil. I don't care if the devil's there. He has no power over me. Do you understand? He has no power over you. A witch can't cast a spell on you. Do you understand that? When you got saved, Colossians says he spoiled the demons. He spoiled anything that Satan had. He took the most valuable thing from him. I think you need to recognize Satanism where it's at so that you don't play with it. Satan gets a foothold in your life, but you don't have to. You don't have to be spooked out all the time. You know, look like a horse going into a new stall. What are you spooked about? There might be a devil in there. I don't worry about that as a Christian. Satan is alive and well, and what I'm concerned about is I don't want to give him a place in my life. I don't want to play with him. I don't want to laugh at him. I don't want to give place to the devil. Now take your Bible and go to Jude 9. Jude 9, we'll end with this. Look, Satan cannot, and did you know Satan isn't going to bother pretty much anybody in here? I don't think anybody, I'm not saying this to belittle anybody, but for all of us, nobody in here is probably even on his radar. He's got bigger things to deal with. Do you understand? But you don't have to walk around as a Christian, you know, spooked. The only reason Satan would bother you is if you give him permission. When Jesus saved you out of it, and then you were careless or foolish, and you gave him place in your life, now you got a problem. But if you didn't, you are protected. Look at Jude chapter 9. What happens if you do have a problem? Look at Jude verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Look at what Michael told Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't, Michael, you understand, Michael's the fighting angel in heaven. He's over the fighting angels that defend Israel and all of that. The fighting angel Michael, God says, when confronted and was disputing with Satan, didn't take him on. He said, the Lord's going to handle you. You know what you're supposed to do if you sense you have a problem? If Michael wouldn't take on Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that. And all these stupid books, raise your right hand, make sure you look to heaven, quote this scripture and say, I rebuke thee, I rebuke thee, I rebuke thee, I rebuke thee, I rebuke thee. All that garbage is, I'll tell you it again, it's Christian voodoo. It's garbage. If Michael would not address Satan and rebuke Satan to his face, but said, the Lord's going to handle you, the Lord will rebuke you. And Christian, you know what I learned from Jude verse 9? If you feel you're in over your head, and if you feel you're being attacked spiritually, then you just look up to the Lord. You don't even have to talk to Satan. You can just say, Lord, I need you to handle this. I'll say it one more time. I don't walk around. I'm not concerned about, well, what happens if, there are witches that fast and pray against churches and pastors. I don't walk around spooked about that. The only reason Satan or demons would problem your home or your family is because if you give them permission. And if you feel like you're in over your head, if you need to, then you just give it to the Lord. Do just what Michael did. Lord, you're the only one that can handle this. So give it to him. But don't give place to the devil. Tonight we looked at the occult because it seems like this time of year it's entertaining. And I just wanted you as a Christian, your awareness. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask the Lord.